Well, in New South Wales, the number of new daily COVID cases continues to decline. Today, there were 611. But in Victoria, another 1,377 new cases were recorded today as its capital achieved the inglorious honour of becoming the world's most locked down city during this pandemic. There are signs of hope, though. Cases are stabilising in Melbourne's northern and western hotspot suburbs. And there's been a huge uptake of vaccines by teenagers preparing to return to school. The concerns in the state are the growing cases in Melbourne's south and east, where almost half the new cases are aged under 30, and that the daily cases are still stubbornly well above 1,000. Still, term four is getting underway, with face-to-face learning resuming, and now the group of medical and scientific experts known as AusSage has some new advice for making schools safe. From Melbourne, Emily Burke reports.
Having guided Victoria and the Andrews government through a pandemic, including six lockdowns, the Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton reflected on Melbourne's new title, the most locked down city in the world.
I mean, it's been an awful crisis for the world, for Melbourne. We have to face the crisis that's in front of us. You know, we are effectively left with no choice until we've got that higher vaccination coverage.
Despite today's 1,377 new COVID cases and four deaths, there was some good news. Teenagers have turned out in droves to be vaccinated in anticipation of their return to the classroom for term four. And that staged return to school has commenced. Final year students are heading back this week in regional areas and in metro Melbourne. Younger students will return over the coming weeks. Vaccine mandates are in place for staff, there are staggered pick-ups and drop-offs, and changes will be made to the isolation protocols in the event of an outbreak at school. Ventilation audits are underway and thousands of air filters are being rolled into classrooms this week, according to the Victorian Health Minister, James Molino.
All of these mitigating factors make it as safe as we possibly can. Nothing we do in this space is risk-free.
The AusSage group of scientists and medical experts have released a new report on the COVID risks to children attending schools and daycare.
We support kids going back to school where possible, but we want to do that in as safe a way as can be done. There are some places which are doing really well with school safety, and it shows us that this is not a fantasy. It can be done.
Pediatrician and intensive care specialist Dr. Greg Kelly is from AusSage.
So, for example, San Francisco, they've had face-to-face learning for quite some months now. They've had very few transmissions in schools. They've vaccinated about 80 or 90% of their 12-year-olds and over. They've paid attention to the quality of indoor air, safe indoor air in schools, and they've also got almost universal mask wearing in schools for students and teachers.
But the AusSage message is clear. Vaccines alone are not enough, and it's all about the layers of protection, layers that are neither complex nor expensive.
The vaccines are very good at preventing serious illness and death, but not as good at preventing transmission, is the reason why we need all the other layers in our multi-layer strategy. Masks, testing, tracing, isolating, staying home when we have cold and flu symptoms. We want to get as high vaccination rates as possible, including hopefully younger children. But vaccines alone are not enough. And because some people can't be vaccinated because they're not eligible yet or won't make antibodies, we have all these other things to protect them and everyone else in the community as well. And really the third plank of it is giving some flexibility to parents to decide when it's safe for their child, but also for their family to be at school. Because certainly while there's still sizable amounts of community transmission, which there is, allow parents to decide what's best for them and their child and support them in that. And that may be all face-to-face, it may be all online, or it may be a mix, a blended model where the child attends some of the time.
But making indoor air safer is essential through better ventilation and filtration to reduce the risk of airborne transmission.
So the first is to really check what the airflow is in a space and then improve ventilation where possible. That depends on the nature of the classroom. Sometimes it's natural ventilation, opening as many windows and doors as possible. Other times it's checking, maintaining and or upgrading the heating, ventilation and air conditioning systems. And then where we're not able to improve ventilation to an acceptable standard, we know that we can filter the air, literally filter the COVID out of it.
Paediatric intensivist Dr. Greg Kelly from AusSage speaking with PM's Emily Burke.